Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Yeah, that's right. Your radio activist coming to you live from Ohio. Oh, thank you.
I always forget that. The mic's got to come down. Your radio activist coming to you live here from Columbus, Ohio. And we've got a really interesting program for you today. Three breaking stories. One of them you're aware of is a Judge Roy Moore situation. I'm going to reserve comment until the end of the program about Judge Roy Moore and the special election in Alabama that happened Tuesday. That's not what this show is going to be about, although I haven't commented up until this point, so I feel free now to do so, and I'll be doing that at the end of the program. But we've got two other breaking stories. The first is this. In the state of Ohio, there are several bills that are poised to be signed by Governor John Kasich. And because of that, Planned Parenthood is staging protests as we speak at the Ohio State House. And we'll be going live to the Ohio State House with our external affairs director, Gabe Vance, here in a minute. And then the second breaking story is the good news, the victory that we have once again stopped an enabler of abortion from helping the abortion cartel. And we'll be talking about that. Specific Waste has ceased to dispose of aborted fetal remains for the last remaining abortion clinic in Kentucky, as well as other abortion facilities in the region. So just strap yourself in. We've got a lot to cover today. Three big stories. Judge Roy Moore, Specific Waste, and the breaking news coming out of the Ohio State House regarding some bills that are happening down there. So let's jump right into it. There's a protest as we speak happening at the State House. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in America, the number one killer of preborn children, is holding a Kill Down Syndrome Children rally as we speak at the Ohio State House. Here's the deal. Yesterday, a bill passed the Ohio Senate, and it also had already passed the Ohio House, that would protect Down syndrome children from discrimination. And what I mean by that is preborn children that are diagnosed with the malady of Down syndrome would now be protected in the state of Ohio according to this act. Now, if you would, Mr. Producer, pull up the article that's in Cleveland.com, and I want to read to you what this bill will do. The bill, if you go down about five paragraphs, it says this. The bill makes it illegal for a doctor. Now, let's just go ahead and strike doctor, put abortionist. The bill will make it illegal for an abortionist to perform an abortion knowing the fetus has been diagnosed with or is likely to have Down syndrome from a prenatal test. That is basically the essence of this bill, the Down Syndrome Non-Discrimination Act. It'll protect preborn children who are diagnosed with Down syndrome, and it hopefully will be signed by Governor Kasich. Now, here's the thing. There's a protest happening, and we're going to be going to Gabe Vance here in a moment, at the State House, and those protesting don't want to see this bill passed. They don't want Down syndrome children protected from the slaughter of abortion. Now, think about that for a second. Think about that. Every one of us knows or has met a Down syndrome child, a child that's suffering from Down syndrome. We all have. Mr. Producer, put up the photo. And this is just a stock photo I got off of Google. Here's a picture of a Down syndrome child. Those are the children that are being targeted now by the abortion industry, by Planned Parenthood, who by the way, hasn't seen an abortion that they don't like. I mean, if there were ever an opportunity to find some kind of common ground with Planned Parenthood, you'd think this would be it. That they would say, okay, maybe in this case, because Down syndrome children should be given an opportunity to live because they have a, quote, disability. By the way, I don't even like using the term disability when it relates to Down syndrome, because if you've ever met a Down syndrome child, they don't seem to be suffering from any disability, folks. I mean, they're some of the happiest children I've ever known or met. And I think a lot of us could vouch for that. So it's not a disability in that sense. Certainly not to them. But anyway, look at this child. These are the children that Planned Parenthood wants to kill. And they're holding a Kill Down Syndrome Children rally at the State House because this bill passed the Senate yesterday and will likely land on the governor's desk in the next coming days. Now, a couple of numbers on Down syndrome. 80% of all children diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb are aborted. That's in America. 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. It's worse in other countries. Iceland, right now, close to 100%. All of the children that are diagnosed with Down syndrome are killed by abortion in Iceland. In the Netherlands, in Denmark, it's like 95%. This is cruel and unusual punishment, right? Planned Parenthood founder, if you would, Mr. Producer, put up Margaret Sanger's mug here. Margaret Sanger, if she knew what was going on, and of course she's in hell right now, more than likely, getting her due for what she did while she was here on Earth. But anyway, if Margaret Sanger were alive today, she would be very proud of Planned Parenthood, because Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist. Margaret Sanger believed in the Nazi idea that you kill the unfit. In fact, she said, quote, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, the arch eugenicist, said this, quote, less from the unfit and more from the fit. In other words, those children who have so-called disabilities should be lined up for slaughter. That was Margaret Sanger's vision for America. And Planned Parenthood today is fulfilling that. I mean, they're out in front of the State House in Ohio protesting a bill that would protect children from abortion if they were diagnosed with Down syndrome. They don't, every abortion to them, they love every single abortion. There's not one that they dislike. And this would be, this is evidenced by their protesting today. Killing children with physical and medical challenges is cruel. Think about that. We don't kill born children who have Down syndrome, do we? Why should we kill preborn children? And it shows that the abortion cartel has an obsession with violence. Here's the deal. The answer to Down syndrome is not to kill the sufferers of Down syndrome, but to find cures to lessen or cure entirely the suffering. So in other words, we don't kill sufferers. We try to cure the suffering, in other words, right? And the answer to Down syndrome is not to kill the babies that have them. That's not a cure. That's killing. So the idea that, for example, in Iceland, where in Iceland, you don't see Down syndrome children anymore. Well, there's a reason for that. It's not because they've cured Down syndrome. It's because they killed the babies with Down syndrome. And so that's happening in America. And Ohio Right to Life and others think that we should at least be able to protect children diagnosed with Down syndrome. And therefore, they have the legislature in Ohio has passed the Down Syndrome Non-Discrimination Act. And because of that, Planned Parenthood and its allies are holding a Kill Down Syndrome Children protest at the Ohio State House. So what I want to do right now is, if we can, Mr. Producer, we could bring up Gabe Vance. Gabe is our Director of External Affairs, and Gabe is at the State House right now at the protest, the Planned Parenthood protest that is protesting this bill that would protect Down syndrome children from abortion. Gabe, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Mark. I am here. Unfortunately, it looks like it was too cold for a lot of the protesters. They ended up just rolling up their signs and all.
Where are they at?
They all headed out. They've just left and walked away. You might be able to see some of them leaving, but a lot of them have left and gone under to their cars in the parking garage, heading out an hour early. This protest was supposed to run from noon until 2, but it looks like they only went for about an hour today.
Okay. Well, isn't that fitting?
Yeah.
You know, they're not even willing to, what is it, 25 degrees today in Ohio and Columbus? They're not even willing to keep their commitment to protest from 12 to 2. That just shows the willingness of these folks to really defend what they believe. I was hoping to get a couple of them on camera, maybe even look at some of their signs. But in the absence of that, since they've wimped out and gone home because of the cold. By the way, doesn't that indicate, folks, what we're up against here? Shouldn't we be able to win this? Believe me, if we were protesting something, it wouldn't matter whether the weather was inclement or it was raining or snowing or what have you. We'd be there. But if you would, Gabe, give us the lowdown on this bill and what's happened in the State House. There have been a couple other things happened in the last couple of days. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so we have a lot of action going on through the Ohio State House and passing pro-life legislation recently. The rally today. If you didn't get to see the protesters, but they were holding handmade signs. They had 19 of them that represent the 19 laws that Governor Kasich has signed and passed, restricting or banning abortion in different ways. So the rally was not only citing the laws that have been passed, but they're also worried about 5 specific bills that are going through Congress right now. What you mentioned, Mark, House Bill 214 that just passed in the Senate and is now off to Governor Kasich's desk to sign. There's also a companion to that bill, Senate Bill 164, which is also banning abortions because of the child being diagnosed with Down syndrome.
Stop right there. Let me make clear to our listeners. Since 2011, Governor Kasich has signed how many? 19 pro-life
19
bills?
Yes.
19. And so they're protesting that, but they're also protesting what they're afraid that's going to happen. And that there are several bills that are moving through the legislature right now. And the one that we know has been passed, which is the Down Syndrome Non-Discrimination Act, which is before Governor Kasich for signature. I was hoping to get them on. I mean, I'm really disappointed, folks, that we couldn't get them on the air. I wanted to ask Planned Parenthood if there's an abortion they don't like. If there's ever an abortion they don't like, and why do they believe they should be able to discriminate against Down syndrome children? But we won't get that opportunity. What are the other bills that are making its way through the State House?
Yeah, there's also House Bill 258, which is the heartbeat bill that was recently just passed in the House Health Committee. So it should be on its way for a House floor vote. The House is now taking a break for Christmas and the holidays, but they'll be back in session in January, so we can expect a vote on the heartbeat bill in January from the House floor. So that bill would ban all abortions after 6 weeks after there is a detectable heartbeat in the child. So this would be no other bill has been passed that has given that much protection to preborn children in Ohio ever before. This bill has the possibility to protect over 70,000 preborn human beings every year in Ohio.
So that's the second one. So we've got the Down Syndrome Non-Discrimination Act, the heartbeat bill. What else?
Yeah, there's also Senate Bill 145, which is the dismemberment abortion ban. This bill just passed recently in the Senate this June, and now it's in the House. It just had its sponsor hearing last month. So this bill would not ban abortions from a certain stage onward, but would ban a certain form of abortion, a D&E abortion, which dismembers the preborn human being using forceps and other medical instruments to rip the baby apart limb from limb.
And what else? What other bills do we have in the hopper right now?
One of the last bill is Senate Bill 28. This bill was actually just recently resurrected. It's had a lack of action since February, but this bill is regarding the final disposition of fetal remains from children that have been aborted. So this bill would make it harder for abortion facilities to dispose of the remains of aborted babies. And this bill is now having a sponsor hearing in the Senate. And it'll move on to proponent and opponent testimonies in the Senate committee, and then hopefully move to the Senate floor to be voted on.
All right. So we got Gabe Vance coming to us live from the Ohio State House, giving an update on the five pieces of legislation that are making its way through the Ohio General Assembly this December. We're hoping that they all get signed by Governor Kasich before the end of the year. If you would recap all of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, real fast, Gabe.
Yeah, exactly. So there is House Bill 214 and Senate Bill 164. Those are both Down syndrome.
Put your microphone more towards your. I can't hear you.
Sorry. Yes, those are.
There you go.
House Bill 214 and Senate Bill 164. Those are the companion bills that would outlaw abortions because of a Down syndrome diagnosis. Then we have House Bill 254, which is the heartbeat bill. And Okay. Then we have Senate Bill 145, the dismemberment abortion ban. And then Senate Bill 28, which deals with the final disposition of fetal remains after abortions.
Okay. All right, Gabe, thank you for coming to us.
Unfortunately,
I guess for our viewers and listeners, Planned Parenthood pulled out because it was too cold for them. Oh gosh, you know they're willing to put through babies through dismemberment. That's okay with them, but when it comes to them having to sacrifice for what they believe in, they'll pull the plug on a protest a good 45 minutes before it's supposedly end. I guess what they got, what they wanted. They got their photo op maybe, and they can make it look like there were hundreds of people at the State
yeah.
House today when there were probably a dozen. They're trying to protest these bills. So again, thanks, Gabe.
Thank you.
All right, folks. So let me summarize here at the Ohio State House. The Kill Down Syndrome Children, Planned Parenthood rally has been canceled. They left early. It was too cold, I guess. 25 degrees in Columbus. I'd hate to see them go to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., when we've walked through blizzards and storms and rain and all kinds of stuff every single year. Hundreds of thousands of pro-life Americans go to Washington, D.C. in January and weather the storms that have come. And it's always cold there. Folks, think about this. Why are we losing when Planned Parenthood can't spend an hour and 15 minutes out in the cold to try to defend their position? Well, what's wrong with this picture? Anyway, that's what's happening. Their Kill Down Syndrome Children rally was a complete flop here from the State House today. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be trying to defend a bill that supports the killing of Down syndrome children. But I don't know about you, but maybe that had something to do with it. Now, let me deal with a couple of these bills real fast, and then we're going to move on to the good news of Project Weak Link. First of all, this Down Syndrome Non-Discrimination Act, let me be clear here. I'm not necessarily a big fan of this thing. I mean, I think it has great educational value because it shows how far the abortion cartel will go to kill babies, that they'll kill Down Syndrome children. They are the bigots. They are those who discriminate, not pro-life activists. That's the value of this bill. Will it actually save lives? Maybe a few. But it doesn't end abortion. It doesn't abolish it altogether. And it kind of carves out this niche that Down syndrome children are protected, but other children aren't. I don't particularly like that. But I think we can do things that have educational value and have an incremental effect on the abortion numbers. this bill does that. But if you've noticed, Created Equal hasn't gotten behind it 100% simply because we can't get behind every single piece of legislation, whether at the federal level or state level, simply because of the lack of resources. But for the most part, we support this. It probably will be signed today or tomorrow by Governor Kasich. The other is the heartbeat bill. Here's something I want you to know. It was 2011 when I stood on the steps of the south side of the state house, and we, among our organization, among others, along with Janet Porter from Faith to Action, introduced this piece of legislation to the country for the first time. 2011. It took almost 2 years to get it through both House and Senate, and it hung by one vote in the Senate for many years until last year at this time. The bill got included in the budget reconciliation, I believe it was, and I could be wrong here, and was line item vetoed by John Kasich. Hopefully we can get this thing done and pass through the legislature again and force him to sign this thing. But I want to tell you, you've got, and this is credit to Janet Porter and her team, 6 years of fighting to get this bill passed, and we are this close. Yesterday, it was voted out of a House committee, 11 to 8. I mean, it used to be, it was almost impossible to get done. The fact that this heartbeat bill 6 years ago was very difficult to get through the legislature. Now, it flies through the legislature. That's progress, folks. That's incremental progress. The fact that this Ohio legislature is willing to ban abortions, 70-80% of them, through the heartbeat bill, shows you that we're making progress. So I wanted to mention that. And then this humane disposal of human remains, I think, is another important aspect that we should force the abortion cartel to humanely dispose of babies if they're going to kill them. I mean, as long as abortion's legal, we should force them to dispose of them as they should be, humanely, treating a human being like it should, made in the image of God, deserving a burial or cremation. That's what this bill does. Again, the abortion cartel's fighting this. Why? Because they want to treat babies like, you know, garbage. They want to chop them up. They want to dismember them, decapitate them, disembowel them, and throw them in landfills. That's what they've been caught doing. But we Christians, those who call ourselves believers and follow Jesus Christ, believe that we are made in the image of God. Therefore, every child deserves respect and dignity. And even if they're aborted, they should be provided a decent burial or cremation. That's what this law does. And again, it shows the extremes of the abortion industry. Again, it's not going to end abortion, but it's one of many means to bring pressure on the abortion cartel. So that's what's coming from the state house. Folks, be encouraged. Here's why. We may not be advancing the ball in the pro-life issue through Congress, through the federal Congress in Washington, D.C. In fact, it's a mess, isn't it, over there? It's unlikely much will get done. Thankfully, President Trump has signed a bunch of executive orders that have moved the ball down the field. But we can't look to Washington, D.C. to solve our problems when it comes to abortion or any other of our issues. We need to be looking to the local level, starting with our communities, then our state. And with our state legislature here in Ohio, we're seeing huge progress on the abortion on the abortion front, as it relates to legislation that's being passed and proposed. So that's where we need to be focusing our attention at the state level, because we can have the most effect there, because it's closer to the people. There's gridlock in Washington on the abortion front, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. So let's keep focusing on the state legislatures across the country and passing bills like the heartbeat bill and other kinds of abortion bans. And let's keep drawing out the abortion cartel for who they truly are. And that is they're the ones that support violence. They're the ones who are bigots and discriminate against children with suffering from Down syndrome and other things. So let's switch gears here. Let's talk about the good news. If you've been following us on Facebook, you've seen some of the posts regarding our victory with Specific Waste Industries as part of ProjectWeekLeak.com. ProjectWeekLeak.com. It's hard to say altogether. Project Week Link. If you would, Mr. Producer, bring up that website. And basically, the program is this. A couple of years ago, Renee Chilean, an abortionist from Michigan, was caught on film saying that the abortion cartel was one incinerator company away from being shut down. And that video was captured by David Dalyden at the Center for Medical Progress and leaked to the American people. And when I saw that video, I thought, oh, well, they're giving us a way forward to attack the supply side of the abortion battle. If you cut off the enablers, you cut off the waste disposal providers, you cut off the enable those who keep the abortion cartel running, you can squeeze the abortion industry and shut them down. And she was giving us that way forward with her comments on that video, along with the Attorney General of Ohio coming out with findings that Stericycle had been dumping babies in landfills. We launched Project Week Link in February of 2016, and we targeted Stericycle. And after about a year, which included a lawsuit against Yours Truly and Created Equal, they disclosed that they had canceled contracts with over 400 abortion centers across the country and are no longer disposing of aborted babies. That was victory number one. We turned from that and used that victory and leveraged it on our target number two, which was Specific Waste Industries, which operates in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, and specifically as well, the last and remaining abortion mill in the state of Kentucky that's located in Louisville. That's EMW Women's Center. And we started that campaign on November 10th. Or a couple days before November 7. And on November 10, we got verification that Specific Waste Industries, another enabler of the abortion cartel, had ceased disposing of aborted babies for EMW and other abortion mills in the region. If you would, Mr. Producer, bring up the video. This is the audio of Specific Waste Industries confirming that they were no longer going to be enabling the abortion industry.
Good morning, Specific Waste. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm just calling because I saw some disturbing news that Specific Waste works with EMW Women's Surgical Center. Is that correct?
We have discontinued our contract with them.
Oh, okay. I guess I wasn't aware of that because I had read online that, you know, the Specific Waste was taking away the dead baby parts. Is that not accurate?
No, we are no longer in service with them.
Okay. Are there other abortion facilities that you work with?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
There you go, folks. Victory. Victory. This is what victory looks like. When the body of Christ gets puts boots on the ground and stands behind their convictions that abortion is murder, treats it like that, and is willing to publicly shame those who kill children and those who enable abortion killing, people run for the woods. They just do. Because they don't want to put up with that. They don't want to be connected because the abortion business is the dark side of medicine, folks. We all know that. We all know that. Even those who are pro-abortion realize that there's something not necessarily all that good about abortion. They want it because they want to be able to live their lives the way they do. They want to be able to have sex when they want to, and they don't want that interfering or a baby interfering with career or what have you. We get it. But we all know, down deep in our hearts, we know that abortion is evil, it's wrong, it's immoral. And that stigma on abortion will never be removed, no matter what Planned Parenthood and NARAL does. They can do all they want to talk about shouting about their abortion or talking about it in a positive way. It doesn't work. It won't work. It'll never work, because abortion argues against itself when understood rightly. And so our part at Created Equal is to attack the demand side through our public outreaches at college and high school campuses, public squares, overpasses, anywhere where large numbers of people gather. And the demand side, which is to pressure the abortionists and create awareness campaigns against the enablers, like specific waste industries. It's the pincer move. You attack demand and supply, and therefore you can cave in the abortion industry. And we're seeing that. Specific waste industries does not want to be connected to the abortion cartel. Bottom line. I mean, we hardly needed to do much. They knew that if they were going to be servicing these abortion mills, that they were going to be known for it in their community with their client base. And that is something they were unwilling to be identified with, because they understood that was a public relations nightmare. No one wants connected to the abortion cartel. Thank God for David DeLeiden. Thank God for everything he has done with the Center for Medical Progress to shed light on Planned Parenthood selling baby parts. People understand that the abortion industry is nefarious. They're evil. They're lawbreakers. And when we expose that to the light, companies like Stericycle don't want anything to do with them. So here's where we stand with Project Weak Link. Stericycle has refused to dispose of fetal remains. However, and I'll just say this as a caveat, we do have evidence that they're still showing up at a couple of abortion mills across the country, and we are now preparing to address that. So they haven't completely separated themselves from the abortion cartel, but as far as we know, they are no longer picking up aborted fetal remains. Number two, Specific Waste has now refused to be involved with the abortion industry, and we are now preparing for a nationwide campaign of Project Weak Link, a nationwide campaign for Project Weak Link to launch against every medical waste provider, every medical waste service provider in America, to warn them that they are on our short list and they are next. And they will have to explain themselves to their community and their clientele as to why they're involved with transporting and disposing of aborted dead baby parts. And so we are in the midst of preparing for that, and we will be letting you know more as it goes along here with projectweeklink.com. Project, by the way, you can go to projectweeklink.com to find out more. And folks, if you're watching this program or listening into it on our podcast, and you know of a medical waste service provider that is showing up at your abortion mill, I want to know about it. I want you to send me an email. I want you to text me. I want you to email us, whatever. You know, I want you to message us on Facebook or what have you, and let us know who it is. I want pictures and video with the name of the company and also where this is actually taking place, because when we have that evidence, we can launch our awareness campaign against them. So that's Project Weak Link update. Now, finally, I said I was going to comment on the Roy Moore situation. Many of you might wonder why I didn't come out for Judge Roy Moore publicly for him. It's not because I'm worried about my reputation. I don't care about that, obviously. You can tell by what I do. I mean, we're identified with abortion directly. We're not going to be politically correct. We're not going to be popular. We get it. That's not the reason why I did not come out entirely in support of Judge Roy Moore's campaign in Alabama. I've never met the man. From what I know, he's a good man. He's a good man of God. In fact, I remember the years where he stood for the Ten Commandments. So I understand the what he has done in defending religious liberty and the sanctity of one man, one woman marriage. I get it. He's probably the number one hero in America when it comes to Christian conservatives. And I don't think that's changed at all, folks. But when you have accusations like this, you don't know. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, I know it's 38 years ago. I know that we all do things in the past that we're ashamed of, but we just don't know. Here's the deal, though. Whether he did or not, whether he's involved with this impropriety regarding these underage women or not, I don't think is really the issue. We all have things in the past that we would like not to happen. But the real issue is this, to me, and that is, we are now seeing the new McCarthyism happening right now in America. And that is, if you are a godly man or woman, and you have a track record of defending the things that God loves and opposing the things that God hates, and you run for political office, you are now open season for the new McCarthyism. And the new McCarthyism, whether it's true or false, is that somewhere in your past, you said something or did something with a woman or a man that would cross the line, supposedly, and be considered sexual impropriety, what have you. You can name it whatever you wish. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Once you're labeled with that, once you're considered, say, a pedophile, or you've had these so-called relations, or you've improper relationship with someone of the other opposite sex. Once you are once that's said of you in the public square, you're done. You are done. And it's a warning shot being shot across the bow of any God-fearing man or woman who wants to run for public office, that if you run, you are now going to face the new McCarthyism. I call it sex-carthyism, right? That is, that they are going to dredge up something, or they're going to accuse you of something, whether it's true or not. And if it gets out there in the public, you're done. You're done. And that's the purpose. That was the reason, in my view, as to what happened to Judge Roy Moore. That's number one. The new McCarthyism is now the playbook of the left when it comes to godly men and women running for public office. Number two. The establishment Republican Party is the enemy of freedom and liberty in America. And they are the enemy of the values that you and I hold dear. Judge Roy Moore had 30-some years in public life, a spotless record of representing Jesus in the public square. Very controversial, I get it. Defending the Ten Commandments, defending marriage, religious liberty, and other things. He was first and foremost a man willing to stand his ground when it came to these issues. And now we all know, as clear as day, that the establishment Republican Party, led by Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, is the enemy of Christ and the values that we hold dear as Americans. Why do I say that? Before these allegations were even released to the public regarding Judge Roy Moore, Mitch McConnell and his minions in his war chest spent $30 million opposing Judge Roy Moore in the state of Alabama and supporting his opponent, Luther Strange, who was just a lapdog for the establishment Republicans in the Senate. That's why I say they did not want George Roy Moore in the U.S. Senate. Why? Because Judge Roy Moore is not going to kowtow to the rhinos and the agenda of Mitch McConnell. He's going to be a guy who speaks his mind, like a guy like Ted Cruz. And I can tell you, Mitch McConnell does not want a guy like that in the U.S. Senate. That's number one. That they pulled out all the stops, spending $30 million against Judge Roy Moore. And then when the allegations were levied against him, even though they were never verified, never corroborated, they pulled all the funding from him, even though he was running against a pro-abortion Democrat, Doug Jones. They pulled all their funding from him. Mitch McConnell said that he would move to expel him once he was seated in the U.S. Senate and not give him any opportunities to sit on any of the committees. Now, if you're an Alabama voter and you hear that, you hear that the Republican Party is not supporting you, you hear that The other senator in Alabama says that you should not vote for him. You hear that he will be expelled from the Senate and not seated on committees. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to save the time. I'm simply not going to go vote. I mean, why bother? This guy isn't going to be able to do what he proposes to do anyway, because he's going to be fighting the likes of Mitch McConnell and the rest of the establishment all the way, and he might be expelled. So I think it had an effect. Obviously, the allegations were the primary reason that, unfortunately, that Judge Roy Moore did not get elected to the Alabama, to be the senator from Alabama. That's number one. But McConnell and his minions led the charge in opposing him and pulling funding and supporting his opposition there in the primary. Finally, and this is the worst part about the whole thing, in my opinion, Alabama has been a red state from I can't remember when, all the way back. You know, I don't think it's ever gone blue. It's not blue today. But because Christian conservatives stayed home and did not support Judge Roy Moore and either or voted for his opponent, it tells me something about what's going on in this country. And that's this. We will rather believe the women who put forward these allegations, which were unsubstantiated, we would rather believe them and vote against a man like Judge Roy Moore or not go vote at all. We would rather that than try to keep out an avowed baby killing supporter like Doug Jones. Doug Jones supports third trimester abortions, partial birth abortions, late term abortions. This man supports babies being murdered even while they're in the midst of being born. That's a partial birth abortion. Think about the scales here, folks. Let's think about this. You have allegations against Judge Roy Moore, which were not substantiated, outweighed an avowed child killing supporter who said that late term abortions should be legal and he has a history of supporting them. What do we value most? Life? Or do we value the supposed allegations that this man showed impropriety towards an underage female? Folks, I mean, please. We know what we're getting with Doug Jones. We're getting a late term abortion supporter. And I understand that the election wasn't clear on that because it was all caught up in these allegations against Judge Roy Moore and very little of Doug Jones's history and his positions came out. I get it. It was not a referendum on abortion in Alabama. If it were, I think that the pro-life candidate would win. But it just shows that the Christian community is willing to allow a supporter of late-term baby killing into the Senate because they believe supposedly the allegations of these women against a man like Judge Roy Moore. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. I can understand why you're not going to like what he's being accused of, granted, but it was 38 years ago. This guy has a track record of supporting Christian values. And a long time ago, even if these things were true, this happened 38 years ago. Who is Judge Roy Moore today? And what would he do in the U.S. Senate? That's what should have mattered most to the voters of Alabama, not these allegations that are unsubstantiated or corroborated. No, that should not have mattered. But now we're stuck. We're stuck with another pro-abortion senator to the U.S. Senate for the next year and a half, two and a half years. The good news is Doug Jones will be voted out in 2020. I guarantee it. It won't take long. Another Republican, hopefully pro-life, and maybe Judge Roy Moore will run again. I hope he does. And that seat will be taken back. But the problem with that is the problem with Washington altogether, and that is we can't get anything done as it is, and now we've lost another seat in the United States Senate, which makes it even more difficult to do things like pass a 20-week ban on abortion or defund Planned Parenthood altogether. Those things are probably not going to happen in the first term of President Trump now, because of the squandering of an opportunity by Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, and the opposition to good men like Judge Roy Moore by the establishment of the Republican Party. So, unfortunately, that's where we sit. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't want to, you know, sound the alarm too badly. I mean, it's a particular situation that was unique this time around in Alabama. And unfortunately, Judge Roy Moore, his career as far as politics may be over. I don't know. I mean, that's going to be up to him and his family. But that man's a fighter. I expect him to probably be back in the fray before long. So, folks, don't be despairing over what happened in Alabama. You know, it is what it is, but there are some lessons to be learned, and that is that there is a new McCarthyism out there. And if you are a Christian conservative running for office, they're going to dredge up something or make it up about you in your past, and it won't matter whether it's true or not, because they were successful in taking down Judge Roy Moore. That's number one. Number two, that the abortion issue obviously is not as important as other things to many Christians, unfortunately, and it continues to be a problem. Apathy is a problem in the church when it comes to abortion or any other issues. And also, we can no longer look to, and this is true a long time ago, but it's very clear now, that the establishment Republican Party led by Mitch McConnell in the Senate and Paul Ryan in the House of Representatives are the enemies of Christ, the enemies of America, the enemies of liberty, life, all that we hold dear in this country. We can no longer give them a pass. And Mitch McConnell needs to resign. President Trump should be, you know, in front of the podium today telling him that he needs to step down, because he has squandered a huge opportunity to move forward the agenda that we want to see happen. And that is the ending of baby killing and the ability for the federal government to actually do something on this issue. Folks, don't worry so much. It is the federal government. There's gridlock there. We're making progress at the state level, and that's where we need to be focusing our efforts. So there's our recap today, coming to you here live from the Created Equal Studios. We were at the State House today, be praying that several of these bills would make it to the governor's desk before the end of the year for signature. And also, folks, if you know of any medical waste company that's picking up and transporting aborted fetal remains, I want to know about it. Send me the pictures, send me the videos, let me know where it's happening, and we will investigate them, and we will launch our campaign against them. And then finally, remember, all politics are local, and we need to take care of our own backyards first and not be looking to Washington, D.C. to solve our problems. And if that was never more evident, it was this week when we saw that the establishment of the Republican Party pull out all the stops to try to keep its power intact and not allow a man who believes in the things that we all believe in as Christians to take public office there in the U.S. Senate. So anyway, that's all I have for you today. We'll see you next time, 1 p.m. Eastern, here on The Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.